Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday.
Oh, happy Monday.
You? I guess I asked that with a question in my voice, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. What time did you get back into town, John?
I think we got back 1:45-ish, which was sooner than we actually thought we would. I think that's about right.
That's insane. People don't realize how good you have it when you travel on the charter.
Oh, I do.
You probably do. I mean, you get out of there.
I just walked in with Mike Duraco and I taunted him a little bit.
You're on the bus. Oh, because he didn't, of course.
Yeah, he was on the red eye.
Right. Yeah. He just got it.
I taunt him about a lot of things, but that's one of them.
Yes. You get on the bus and it's police escort to the airport and it's straight to the tarmac on the plane. And
yeah, it definitely makes travel easier.
Wheels
and,
up.
Without that, our meeting today wouldn't be possible.
I know, and that, so I would like to
thank
the
your
charter
lucky
as
charter.
Well, because Ryan O'Halloran is not making it back for an early Monday from the West Coast. John, what do you come out? Just one overall impression. We'll break down specifics on both sides of the football here. Are you more encouraged after yesterday? Are you feeling about the same, or are you more discouraged about where the team overall stands right now?
Well, you got to remember, I always look at things as in terms of sort of the long-term build, which frustrates people because.
But by the way, what's the cutoff? What is there a due date on the build?
I think. Well,
I'm just saying, in your opinion.
Only Shad knows that, right? But
okay, you know, granted. But I mean, what do you think is fair for fans to feel is a reasonable period of time to sit there and say wins don't matter? Are we saying wins don't matter this season?
Well, no, wins always matter, but I think this season, with Blake now into the lineup, that if you see tangible improvement, and I'm not going to say there was yesterday, but there sure were signs of what he's going to be and what the offense can be around him as they learn together. So, yeah, I mean, you've got to see. You can't, this season, continue to see 20-point losses, especially as you get away from this really difficult part of the schedule. You can't keep seeing this and still say there's progress. And early on, defensively, there hasn't been progress. It's been bad.
What happened to the team that at the halfway mark last year found their continued with their resolve to compete on a weekly basis and went out there and were able to win 4 out of 5 games?
I don't know.
It's a fair question, though, right?
It's a fair question because, and again, I'm not sure that even if they were playing that way, that they would be different than 0-4. But I think they would be different than the non-competitiveness at the end of games. That's what's sort of troubling. Again, I still think Philly and part of yesterday, you saw enough good things where if those were the games, then we probably wouldn't be that concerned.
Right. If you had two halves like that yesterday, if you lost 34-28 yesterday, you would say, oh, you know what? We went toe-to-toe with San Diego on the road. Tough place to win.
And even yesterday by itself, and I know we can't talk by itself, but even by itself, that game individually didn't surprise me like the way it played out. I was very encouraged by the way Bortles played, which I think is a universal feeling. And on the road, going west to play San Diego, going west to play that quarterback the way the defense was playing, it didn't surprise me that you had a tight first half. And then all of a sudden they hit some plays to get away. And I think if they hadn't had the first three games the way they did, and you just saw that against San Diego, anybody who follows football would have sort of thought that might be the way that game played out yesterday.
But the problem. You have those games.
Absolutely.
Right?
And again, I only say that saying if you're just basing on yesterday, if you watch enough football, you sort of know a young team going west against a quarterback like that. That's sort of how it plays out. But you can't have four like that, and that's what they've had.
All right, we got to take a quick time out here, but we'll open up the phone lines as we do every Monday for your reaction. Positivity, negativity, just how do you feel, and what can be done? What is salvageable, and what needs to be cut out? What is the problem? There are a lot of them, I think, on both sides of the football right now, but we'll get into it at 641-1010. You can tweet the program in a variety of ways, at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at 1010XL. Lauren Brooks is back this morning. Yes, and today we're just simply asking you in the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, give Blake Bortles a grade for his starting debut as an NFL quarterback. Obviously played last week, but his first full game at the helm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've gotten a lot of reaction to that already. Feel free to weigh in there and on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. We'll open it up to your calls throughout and look back on week four in the National Football League, particularly from a Jaguar perspective. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Oh no. Is it that bad, Lauren? Really?
It sure
really?
Is.
Disaster? Is that what it is? Is that simply the thing?
Flirting with it, at least.
Yeah, it's flirting with disaster.
Right.
We're getting very close to being very bad.
Wow.
She's still optimistic.
Close. Yeah, I guess so. Haven't quite reached very bad yet.
Didn't Prosser just say the glass isn't half full or half empty or any of that? Apparently it's still a little full, according to Lauren.
I still have some
hope. Were we thanking Tampa Bay like 8 or 9 days ago for clearly being the worst team in the state of Florida? I believe we were.
This is it's a week-to-week league. Everyone reacts to what they just saw. And Tampa Bay got bashed because of a game they played against Atlanta. They were competitive in their other two games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, but they lost to two backup quarterbacks. They lost to Derek Anderson and Austin Davis, who's a third stringer.
I know, but that's a lot better than what we had seen Jacksonville to this point this season. I mean, they've been blown out now four times.
Granted, but I would imagine if they played a full strength Philadelphia in week one, it wouldn't have been as close as playing Carolina.
Script
with
flips
Derek
this
Anderson.
Weekend, Mike.
Maybe it does.
That's right. But Pittsburgh Steelers, the new NFL slump buster.
Look, they certainly were yesterday, but yet you have to look at it just because, you know, it is a week to week league. You say, well, Tampa did it. How did they do it? You know, I mean, how were they able to do it? How were they able to beat Pittsburgh again? Antonio Brown had two touchdowns. I don't know if you saw any of the highlights, John.
A very little.
There's a bomb that would drop right in his hands that he didn't catch.
Yeah.
You know, he might go for 250 yards again. And he's probably having the best season of any receiver in the NFL through the first month of the year.
Well, that's often what the league is. It's like we talked about two plays where the Jags don't cover yesterday, and he gives the Chargers two easy touchdowns. All of a sudden, the game is tilted. You know, so every game is that. Is my point. Most games are a play or two one way or the other. And I didn't see the Pittsburgh game, so I don't know how they.
I'm
play
just
otherwise.
Talking about that. Pittsburgh had an opportunity. They already sure. They had a couple touchdowns. Antonio Brown could have had a third. I just feel like with the Jags, that we talk about one or two plays. It's always, you know, you're always saying if we could take this away from the
sure.
other team, right? I mean, one or two plays.
Well, you're looking for something to talk about during the week. Obviously, you can't do that.
Well, I'm just trying to really more look for, get to the root of how close they are to being competitive and how close they're not. Are they really just, do you believe if Blake Bortles were a year from now, right, with 13 starts under his belt and a full offseason as the guy, right, and they play that game yesterday, how different is that game yesterday?
I think it's probably a little different in the second half because I think one of the reasons they didn't throw deep very often in the second half was you wanted to get the ball out of his hands quickly, not put him in a situation where there was a lot swarming around him.
Just pinning their ears back with a
lead.
Yeah,
so I think there was, as you go on, I think you'll call the plays for him differently and you'll just learn a little more. I think maybe you don't see one or two of the second half interceptions if he's a year older. You know, all those things that, it's going to sound like I'm criticizing him. Not. He's on a path far further down the path than I thought he'd be. But there are still mistakes you make as a rookie quarterback that you're not going to make in 16 games. Would they have won the game? I don't know. Would it have been a little closer? I would guess, yeah.
But I look at it like, you know, they still give up 407 yards yesterday.
Season low.
Which is fantastic. It's getting better, right? They gave up 33 points.
Season low.
But again, you're looking at San Diego at the end. They don't care if they score another point.
Right.
They're just run it right in the middle of the line. Run it. And they might have been able to score. You know, they called off the dogs basically just to avoid making the big mistake that would
sure.
give the Jags a chance to
no
get
question.
A return for a touchdown or something like that.
And as we talked about last week, you know, it's no longer a blip. It's a trend that there are too often, for whatever reason, receivers are running open and scoring easy touchdowns. And as Roy Miller said earlier last week, it's the big plays that are killing them, because you've got to live to fight another down, another day. And when you give up those kind of plays, you're not. Now, the third one to Malcolm Floyd, obviously, was a play that could happen in any defense. That was a great throw, I thought. But the two to Eddie Roy are the ones you know.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. And as Tony pointed out, we were just discussing
you're
going to
give up some of those
air.
In the NFL. That happens.
And it's Phillip Rivers.
Well,
I mean,
but
he's made
Eddie
a career
Roy.
Out of making that throw.
What, the one to Floyd. Oh, yeah. I'm not – no, nobody – look,
right.
Sometimes a guy makes a play. The guy's a multi-time
on a
Pro Bowler. That's
right.
Fine.
Right.
You shouldn't have jailbreak with guys running wide open in the secondary.
And right, there were two where when you're watching in the press box, you put your pen down and go, what in the world was that?
Right.
You know, and those are the ones that first week of season, Jeremy Maclin, what in the world – you know, there's too many where you go, that just doesn't look like an NFL football play. So, I don't know, you know. At some point, cover those guys.
You look at the one yesterday, right? Then we saw the one Roddy White scored on.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not the only.
Nobody covered Roddy White.
Right.
I mean, really.
It doesn't just happen in Jacksonville.
It's sort of the same deal in the first half to Allen Hurns. You wonder how he gets that white. You know, that was sort of
a
broken play.
But yet Minnesota overcomes that and is able to win a football game because they're putting up 41 points yesterday. You know, so it doesn't have to be perfect from every aspect of your football team. It is a team game. I get that, but it just seems like that side, you know, the six plays of over 20 yards or more, and too many of those end up in the end zone is a problem too. Jags will hit a play. Now, fortunately, they're able to punch one in where Allen Hurns almost dropped it, and that should have ended up in the end zone.
Sure.
But there's a difference between being at your own 20 and hitting a play to the 45-yard line than being at the opposing team's 40 and throwing it and eventually scoring a touchdown on that play. You know, those are the plays, the infinity plays. You could have run forever on that because nobody was catching Eddie Royal on those plays. 641-1010 is the number. Lauren, what did you do to your finger before we go any further?
Well, it's actually the same injury that I've had. It's the old football injury when I was playing football on the beach. But it hasn't healed, and it's been a while. So I finally went to JOI. And they fitted me with two custom splints, one for the daytime and one for the nighttime.
How about that?
I know. They called it the pajama splint.
Really? Wow. All right. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, more than just a studio sponsor. They're out there
helping.
Fingers across the First Coast. All right. We'll use one of those digits, please, and punch up Tim as our first caller this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
How are you doing? Jacksonville, to me, looks like they're two more years away. They really got a draft defense. They did the right thing by taking the quarterback, but, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Do they not look 2 years away, and I'll take it off the air?
That might be optimistic.
Well,
right
look,
now,
we all thought it was the. We thought that all the young pieces coming into the offense, that it's going to take a little while for that side of the ball to develop, but maybe by the end of 2014 they have something on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, we thought they had basically patched it up enough to keep them competitive throughout 2014, and we're four games in. They're not. It's not patched up, and we knew that there was still going to be a lot of work that had to be done on the defensive side of the ball going forward because they bring in a guy like Clemens. They bring in Red Bryant. These aren't long-term answers. They bring in Geno Hayes and Dakota Watson. These are guys that you're trying at the linebacker position, but you're not putting enough money in there because you think, hey, these guys are the future of this position.
You hope
for us
to get lucky like you did with Sendarek Marks, and they hit on him, and they rewarded him with a contract.
The
patchwork
is leaking.
I don't have
defense.
A problem giving guys like Roy Miller a 2-year deal and Geno Hayes and those guys. Those are the kind of deals, those are, you try those guys out, but at the same time, I know they, you know.
And really, the guys we're talking about, the front, I don't think is playing that far off of what was expected out of them. It's the back seven. It's the big play. Now, there was the Washington game when they couldn't get off the field with the run and that, but overall they played good against the run yesterday. I thought they played okay against the run against Philly, except for two big ones, but that's against LeSean McCoy. If you take the games other than the Washington game, the run in the front's been okay, but the big plays in the back seven, when you give those up, it skews everything. And it's the NFL. You can't give up those big plays. So that's the core of it. That's what you got to get stopped.
They played well against the run with a team that had lost its top two tailbacks who clearly wasn't committed to running the ball yesterday. Donald Brown's a finesse player. That's just who he is. He's a finesse player. So is Woodhead for that matter.
Right.
But, you know, they use the running backs. Woodhead is, they don't hand it off to him much anyway.
Right.
They run those little plays. They were running to Brandon Oliver yesterday, and they ran them to great effect yesterday. And that's, you know, so Rivers maybe would have thrown for 300 yards, you know, give 75-ish yards
what I thought
to the
from
running
the front
game.
This year, I thought it would be last year's front more consistently. I mean, I didn't think they were bringing in anybody who was going to be an impact pass rusher to get 12 or 13 sacks. I didn't think that's what Chris Clemons was going to be. I said it all along that I didn't think they had the pass rusher to be that quote-unquote dominant front yet. But I thought they could match what they had done last year. And I think, in general, the front is maybe the same. Maybe, you know, I don't know if there's that much different. But the linebackers and the secondary, that's catching up with them in a big way. And they're giving up big plays. And the National Football League is a big play league.
Let's go to Dave up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. I appreciate the time and everything you guys do. You know, yesterday watching the game, it almost felt like, and it definitely was, you know, a new chapter, a new era in Jaguar football. I'm going to give Mr. Bortles an A-. I could have went a little bit higher with that, but it was a refreshing sight to see him actually attempt to make things happen. And his presence on the field, the way he looks over the defense and stuff, sure, there's a couple he would have liked to have had back, but it was refreshing to watch him play. Now, my only fear, and I'm sure everybody will agree with me, is that cover three, man, when we go into cover three, I just cringe. Don't know what it is with our defense. The line is doing its job, but man, we're getting burned so many different ways, so many different positions or out of position, and we just really, really, really need to work on that, on our defensive backs, man, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Tony pointed out is, you know, it's not just, you know, defensive backs, matchups that whether San Diego tried to scheme it or the Jaguars got caught with the wrong personnel on the field or whatever the deal is, Eddie Royal's too small and quick to be covered by
Geno
the likes
Hayes.
Of Geno Hayes and Winston guy.
Right, and
those are
Phillip
two
Rivers,
plays I'm sure the coaching staff would like
right.
to have back.
And Phillip Rivers is savvy enough to come to the line and see, oh, they're going to give me
well, that's
that.
What we talked about all week, right?
Right.
But if you know, all the breakdowns. If you had those against this guy, there's some quarterbacks who don't see it. Phillip Rivers was going to see it most of the time when you put a bad situation in.
Well, saw it, and look, that wasn't cover three. They blitzed on those plays. That was man defense, basically, where they said, Geno, this is your guy. They said, Winston, this is your guy, and they weren't good enough on those plays. Now, that's not to say the cover three hasn't been an issue, too, because those soft spots in the zone between the corner and linebacker right now are absolutely evident. And you saw it again yesterday in that game, too.
But isn't that the problem? Cover three, man, doesn't matter, right?
Nothing's
they're,
working.
They're getting ripped on no matter what they're throwing out
right.
there.
And you talked about it last week. Blitz if you can't get those front
blitz
four
if
home.
You can't get them. And the problem was San Diego got stoned
right.
them, right? Because, again, that's what's going to happen. And
nothing
I get
works.
That with a veteran quarterback. But if you're going to send pressure, you got to get home. And it just looked, I don't know, from your perspective watching the press box, watching the game on TV, it never looked for a second like Phillip Rivers thought that anyone was ever going to get to, even as, you know, you could see the guys come a wave of maybe six or seven guys on a play, and he just stand there and constantly just had this feeling that it's going to hold up. It's going to hold up. It's kind of hard to describe.
Well,
I just got that sense watching the game.
I thought there were a few times where the rush got him on the two touchdowns. If memory serves, it fell on the two touchdowns like he had time to look around and time
right.
for, you know what, to wait for Royal to do whatever he wanted to do. That's sort of the way Rivers is. It's what makes him really good, is that even if he is getting sacked, he doesn't worry about the rush. And that's sort of the persona perception he gives off when he plays, because he does look downfield. He doesn't worry about it. So when it does hold up, he looks like a genius that's, you know, waiting
tough guy,
out.
Unaffected.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what he is. That's why he's good. And fortunately for the Jaguars, it appears you've got another version of that on the other side, because I think Blake does the same thing.
641-1010, the number. We'll get right back to your phone calls momentarily. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here, live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. You might think this is a celebratory song. Of course, it's done by House of Pain. Right. Pain and Disaster so far is what we got I think the theme on this Monday is pretty evident. Welcome to the quarter pole of the NFL season on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Wild West, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, whether you're in the market for a revolver, a semi-auto, rifle, shotgun, sporting arms, you name it, Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, and that is a guarantee. You can even trade your gold for guns at guns4jax.com online, guns, the number 4, J-A-X.com, or stop by Wild West Guns and Gold, Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call them at 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars today. Our number here, 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you. John, let me ask you before we get right back to these phone calls. What's the biggest, if you could fix one position, if you could pull one Pro Bowler from any, what would be the one type of player that would help this football team the most?
Well, I would still want an elite pass rusher because that's what I always want on defense.
Who's going to impact the most other players?
Right, because I was here to the theory he can help everybody behind him, whereas a cornerback covers one guy. And that's sort of, you know, but right now you got to say cornerback. If you could get a cornerback, you know.
If you could have J.J. Watt or Richard Sherman.
Well, I'd take J.J. Watt.
So would I.
Yeah.
Right.
But there are fewer
of those than there are even of Richard Sherman types, probably.
Yeah, they're probably not going to trade him.
Understood. I'm just saying if you could have that type of player, if you could have that type of impact player.
Yeah, because he's the – but I also think he's unique even for a great pass rusher.
I think he is too.
So, yeah, you'd love to have him. Sure.
Yeah. PFT's pushing the J.J. Watt for MVP vote today.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, look, you're asking J.J. Watt. I already get the sense that he's an all-timer. You know, he's
only a few years into his career,
but he's Reggie White.
He may be the best defensive player since Reggie White.
I'm not sure that I get that sense about Richard Sherman. I mean, if you were asking me, do I want Robert Quinn or Richard Sherman?
Or Robert Quinn or Patrick Peterson?
Right.
Or
now I'm thinking, you know, about that kind of thing. J.J. Watt is just so
good.
Far and above.
All right, Deion.
He's good. We're
going to bring in Deion in his prime versus. All right, moving along. Let's go to Lucas next up, 641-1010, the number. Good morning, Lucas. How are you?
Hey, doing good, fellas. Got a couple grades to hand out. First, we got a C for Bortles. You know, some bad decisions out there, led to some turnovers. A for Will Blackman, made some solid hits. And D-minus for Demetrius McCray. Couple blown coverages, especially the big one to Floyd. I don't really think he has what it takes and take your
Yeah, I'm going to upgrade that grade for
you. Yeah, I don't think that was a blown coverage,
Demetrius McCray.
I mean, he was pretty much all over Malcolm Floyd, and that, you know, you got a 6'5 receiver and they lob the ball over his head to a fingertip catch. I don't know if I agree with a blown coverage on that particular one. How did you think he played outside of that play?
I thought he did okay. I mean, I thought it didn't seem as he played better than Gratz did when Gratz was in early. So I don't know. I certainly didn't blame him for that play. I didn't get a chance to watch him one-on-one enough to say if he played great, if he played bad. But you didn't get the feeling that was a problem in the second half.
I heard Hacker say last night, listening to the fifth quarter on the way home, you can't let Keenan Allen go for 10 for a $135. Well, yes, you can.
He's
That's what
really
number
good.
One receivers yeah. do in the National Football League. They do that. You can't let Eddie Royal have 240-plus yard touchdowns. Keenan Allen didn't beat you yesterday at all. He averaged 13 yards a reception. He's a big receiver. I mean, he made a couple of really nice catches that were contested. And, yeah, I mean, he caught way too many passes. It was pitch and catch for a while. But number one receivers in the NFL – are going to torch you on occasion.
Yeah,
that's what this league is.
That probably doesn't get you beat if the 280 Royal plays don't happen.
Right.
So your
that's the thing. You can't let this
Malcolm
guy.
Malcolm Floyd touchdown, you can handle the Keenan Allen. You know, when you're game planning and trying to figure out how the game might go, you figure, I mean, we sat in here last week, Tony, and you said, boy, Malcolm Floyd might catch one. Just sort of see that. And you saw the same thing with Keenan Allen. If I had told you Keenan Allen catch 10 for 135, you'd say, yeah, he might do that.
I'll say,
but you wouldn't have thought that Eddie Royal was going to go off and catch, you know, the two longest touchdowns that he's had since 2008.
What you would have thought is that Antonio Gates might torch you And they did a pretty solid job on Antonio Gates overall.
Right.
Is that what it ended up? Three for 30. So very solid job. Now,
and his numbers might have been better had the game not been out of hand. But yes, a solid job on Gates.
Right. Cyprian may have been charged with assault if he didn't get out of California on the on the one third down near the goal line. But hey, you know what? He didn't catch it. The ref didn't blow the whistle. Good coverage.
Jonathan
Cyprian.
Yes.
So, all right, let's go to Earl, I believe, is up next. Good morning, Earl. How are you?
Hey, how y'all guys doing? I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
Yes. I just think that Bortles will be the next great quarterback in this league. But I think on yesterday's game, I just had a problem that we really missed Maurice Jones-Drew. I think, personally, it was a big mistake with this running game. I mean,
have you watched Maurice Jones-Drew play at all this year, Earl?
Well, yes,
you have. When? And tell me what you've missed about his play this year.
I mean, I just think that his identity, I mean, who he is as a person, what he did in his community.
Hey, Fred Taylor's a great person. He can't wind up and run in the NFL anymore either. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, he'd be mad at me for saying it, but he's past his prime in the NFL. He would not make a difference on this football.
I think they missed 2011, Maurice.
Oh, sure. All right, let's roll back the clock. They miss James Stewart from, you know.
The Browns miss Jim Brown.
Right.
Can we get 2011 Maurice and an emerging Blake Bortles? I'll take that, please.
Yeah, Maurice was on this team last year, right, when they were getting off to an 0-8 start.
Right.
I don't think they, you know, that's my opinion. Look, you're entitled to yours, but I don't think it's that. I actually thought, and it's such a low standard we're talking about here, to say, well, there are a couple of encouraging. We ran for more than 5 yards on a couple of occasions. That's
Boom.
What it kind of felt like, right? Like, wow, those are huge runs. You watch last night, you see DeMarco Murray rip off run after run after run. And you're like, man, why can't we do that? Of course, Dallas, you look at that offensive line.
But I think you are. I think your point is, as Blake starts playing, you know, there's part of us, is what we do, that has to sort of step back and say, okay, where is this going? It's not good enough, but where is it going? And I think you sort of saw where the running game can get better as the line gets a little better, as things get a little better around them, as maybe we need to get some skill guys back. You saw where the running game might be going to get to that point that we talk about where it's at least a threat and where the defense has to acknowledge it. It's not there. But what you're saying is you saw a couple of spots where you went, okay, I sort of see what the coaches are saying when they say that it's close and it's there, which isn't enough to win. But
I wouldn't even say I could see where they say it's close. I would say it was better based on you were at rock bottom and had nowhere to go but up. So they had a tiny uptick. I mean, it's still, you're still talking about a very minimal.
Easy for you to say.
Yes.
I'm not talking about minimal.
A very small amount of yardage.
In
the
first half, I thought it was effective, Mike. I think the run game really helped them in the first half of that game yesterday. And in the second half, like a lot of everything for the Jaguars team, nothing worked. I mean, on offense or defense, nothing worked in the second half. And again, John, I don't know if that's the youth catching up to them. I don't know if that's the adjustments that San Diego made against the young
offense,
team.
What you just mentioned isn't a surprising thing to happen because you've got a young quarterback and a young offense. You come out, things work in the first half, and then the defense sort of adjusts to that young quarterback. And that's not an uncommon story with the young offense in the NFL. It's not an ideal story.
Right.
It's not an uncommon story. The uncommon thing is what's going on defense when you can't stop giving up the big plays that take you out of the game, and all of a sudden you got the young offense playing uphill. That's what happened yesterday. That happened against a good quarterback. That's what happens when you play Phillip Rivers, but that's why you lose the game.
Sure. Hey, and it'd be nice to get to a point when we can get a yard when we need it.
Right. Well, look, again, we're talking about, was it effective at all? Right. They ran 19 times for 57 yards to two tailbacks. It's 3 yard per carry average.
Right.
That's not really effective in the National Football
League. Effective in the first half. In the second half, it gave him nothing.
I thought that there were moments in the first half, and I thought the defense, there were moments, particularly after the turnovers, where they played well. And I gave him credit. You know what? They didn't come out and get pushed around right off the bat. You turn it over right there, point blank. You hold them to a field goal. You get out of there. You had just a couple of big plays that did you in, and you thought overall defense played pretty well in the first half of that football game. It's hard to say. People don't want to hear that because they're giving up 400 yards. They're giving up 33 points. But for the first half of this game, I don't think if you watched it objectively, it was one of the better halves of football that they played this year.
They were in it on the road against, you know, I think a really good team and a quarterback that I really respect. So, yeah, the first half was, you know, it was fine. But the second,
You got to play them both. You're telling me.
So far, I'm figuring that out.
Let's go to Dean up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I missed last week's game because I was in Tuscaloosa, but that's a whole other story. But I want you guys to expand on what you were saying earlier in the show about talent acquisition. You know, as far as you know, Indy obviously has Andrew Luck, but you know, a lot of other surrounding players. I mean, do you think the Jags are in the right direction as far as talent acquisition? I mean, I think Bortles is really the answer. I think his escapability, what he was, the play he was making yesterday, but points you're making, I mean, they went out and tried fixing the defense, and I mean, that's been just giving up points in bunches. And the offensive line, you know, the point was made last night in the Cowboy game, how they were getting old on the offensive line and they upgraded. And I think the Jags, I mean, really, I mean, need to support Bortles and better offensive line play, I think. But do you really think they're in the right direction as far as talent acquisition is my point?
Well, a couple of things you touched on there. One, the Cowboys offensive line, you had Tyron Smith, you had Zach Martin, and there was another. There were three of those guys are first-round picks.
Travis Frederick.
I said three first-round picks on that offensive line. Okay. The Jags have won. You're going to wait two more years to plug those holes, you know, add two more first-round offensive linemen to this football team, and then you're missing out on first-round what else, you know? So
it's about choices.
I get it. You can't fix everything. Right. And that's the biggest thing, I think. But I do think it's a fair criticism. People look at that cap space. You say, well, let's not go crazy and sign some big-name free agents. I'm fine with that. But I applauded the signings of Red Bryant and Chris Clemens because they were short-term kind of moves to, hey, we still got to play football week in, week out here. Let's bring in some guys. And when you look at the lack of quality play in this linebacker core, and you look at, I know they're trying to develop this young group in the secondary, but my goodness, you know, you've got all these areas that you feel could have been upgraded with some, you know, just kind of average NFL free agent talent to come in. Not, again, you don't tie yourself and ruin your salary cap for the next 5 years, but come off the wallet and go spend a little of that cash.
I think that's what they were trying to do with Geno Hayes, Dakota Watson, Alan Ball. I mean, those are sort of the guys who fit that description, but yet they're not playing very well in the back step.
Are they? To me, that's not even – those are guys that you kind of throw a dart at and hope. All right, they're young guys that you see that they fit a physical profile. I'm not saying you shouldn't bring in a collection of those guys well. And again, I'm
this more of a Red Bryant level,
right? That kind of guy. Like they let Daryl Smith go, and again, I'm not trying to kill him for one decision, but that's an example of the type of player that I'm talking about. Daryl Smith sat on the free agent market into like June or July last year before the Ravens picked him up for nothing. Played so well, they gave him a 4-year contract extension. He can still play football, and he's getting it done on a weekly basis. There are guys like that every year that populate free agency that you can have for a song, and you say, well, we don't want to do that. We want to build through the draft. Well, you can – there needs to be a mix, right? You can't run just a rookie-laden squad out there. And I think they did try that in spots on defense, but I think clearly they didn't go far enough based on the early returns.
This morning, with 38 points a game, it's hard to argue your point.
John Osier, not going to argue my point.
No, right I mean, it's I you can say it over and over again, but you know, the outside linebackers, I'm not sure, have played very well. And when the secondary is giving up this kind of yardage on a routine basis, can't happen.
6-4-1-10-10, let me get Eric in before we break quickly. Eric, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, well, a couple things. Bortles, I thought, played. I give him a B+. I think that one play, which was a huge play when Cecil Shorts, he was in the run, didn't run the right route, pulled his hamstring. I think he was playing hurt, and that was a huge game changer right there. And then also, I think Jonathan Cyprian's a little overrated, but that's just my point.
Well, I will say that for a couple things. I don't think he necessarily ran the wrong route. I know what you're talking about on the interception. It looked like he couldn't push off the hamstring. They showed the replay, John. I don't know if you saw it in the stadium. the play before that, he's running down the field on a deeper pattern, and he grabbed the back of his leg.
Yeah, that's what he said after the game, too.
He's got to take himself out of the game at that point. He can't be on the field and leave his quarterback in a position where he cannot execute his job at that point in time. So he should have checked himself out of the game at that point in time. I'll say, look, I think Cyprian's one of the few guys we have hope for among the young core of players on the defense. So you talk about how many of these guys are going to be there that are making an impact for this defense in 2 years. Who can you envision?
Sure.
Marks, maybe Cyprian. Well, you hope Cyprian. I don't think Cyprian is not good or anything like that, but I haven't seen, you know, a lot of people said a future multi-time Pro Bowler. All right, this state in football history is presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Got a lot of things that happened on this date in football history. Bully for us. 1946, so the first NFL game was played in Los Angeles as the Rams debuted in L.A. Where did they play prior to Los Angeles?
The Rams?
Yes.
Cleveland.
Good job. How'd you know that?
I just saw it somewhere here in the last couple weeks, and it stuck in my head.
Good man right
they
there.
They won the NFL championship the year before they moved, I believe.
How about that?
15-14.
1951, the first color telecast of a football game on network TV occurred. All I'm told was that it was a game in Philadelphia, and it appeared on CBS. No idea who they beat. I'm going to guess the Steelers, just because. 1969, Steve O'Neill of the Jets kicked the longest punt in NFL history. Care to guess?
98 yards.
98 yards. You guys are red hot today. 1985, we'll see if you can keep it up. Warren Moon sacked an NFL record tying how many times? We should know this. We just saw this stat as the Jags were getting sacked 10 times by the Redskins. How many for Warren Moon? How many sacks did he take?
I'm going to guess 11.
12. Oh, Tony.
12.
You've blown it.
It was 12.
Osher had it. And
I was going to say 12.
In 1995, the O.J. Simpson case was sent to the jury. I forget how that went. How did that turn out? Anybody recall how that turned out?
The glove didn't fit. So
they did acquit?
They did acquit.
And in 2002, Jerry Rice had 151 yards from scrimmage, which brought his total to 21,281, that passed Walter Payton as the all-time leader also on this date in football history. I told you it was a big one today. Bum Phillips. Used to love Bum Phillips back in the day. Wade Phillips' dad, 1923, Bum Phillips was born. We'd go on to coach the Houston Oilers and the New Orleans Saints. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. Call 620-9225 if you're in the market for a family dentist or you need some cosmetic work done. Maybe you want that stop snoring mouth guard. It's absolutely amazing. JamesJMcCall.com online. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
All right, Minnesota Vikings rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater had to leave his team's win over the Atlanta Falcons because of a sprained ankle yesterday. Bridgewater was carted off the field but later returned to the sidelines. His head coach, Mike Zimmer, said that he expects Teddy to play on Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers. Oakland Raiders rookie quarterback Derek Carr left yesterday's London loss to the Miami Dolphins after suffering a high ankle sprain and a sprained MCL in his knee. It's unclear when he may be able to return to the field. Matt McGloin went in for him, and now's as good a time as any for a rookie stat check with those two guys in the news. Teddy Bridgewater, thus far in his rookie campaign, 31 of 50, 62% completion percentage, 467 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He's also rushed for 54 yards and a touchdown, and of course, now 1-0 as a starter. By the way, that averages out to 9.3 yards an attempt for Teddy Bridgewater.
Pretty good.
That's a really good number.
By the way, Jarius Wright is still on an NFL roster. And I mean, isn't it funny how something...
Been waiting on that guy for 3 years.
The backup who played with this guy probably threw to him all summer long with the twos, right? And he's got a comfort level with him. And he's had talent ever since they drafted him out of Arkansas. Like the fourth round, something like that, Tony. And he made him the hot waiver wire pickup in fantasy leagues across America this week.
Derek Carr, 84 of 133 on his season to this point, 63.2% completion percentage. Just above Teddy there in that category. 734 yards, four touchdowns, four interceptions. He's 0-4, 66 yards rushing, 5.5 yards in attempt for Derek Carr.
In all seriousness, how do you think Raider fans feel like? Do you think they feel like, because I think Derek Carr has played fairly well. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a guy taking the top of the second round, regardless of where he's taken. He's a starting quarterback for them now. Four touchdowns, four interceptions. He hasn't killed them. It's not like they're brimming with offensive. I mean, can you name their tight ends? I can.
Sure.
Because I play fantasy football.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I mean, they've no impact from the tight end position. Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew are not exactly, Zonka and
right.
Mercury Morris back there. And you got a hodgepodge of wide receivers. Rod Streeter's out. Andre Holmes, you know, they deactivated Denarius Moore yesterday. Mm-hmm. James Jones, solid player.
Yeah.
But, so I think he's played pretty well. Do you think the Raiders look and say, oh, we're 0-4, but we found the quarterback? I mean, I really wonder. I'm not trying to be a smart ass about it. I don't know, because they did go the route of saying, you know what? Let's go get Justin Tuck. Let's go get, who was it that they got from Pittsburgh?
Woodley.
Lamar Woodley. Let's plug in
right.
some of these veteran guys to try to shore ourselves up on that
Charles
side of the football.
Woodson playing safety. For
Charles Woodson Charles Woodson is such a Hall of Famer, it's not even funny.
Right.
But he's played great the last couple of years out there in Oakland.
Unreal.
How do you think they, I wonder how they feel about that? You know, are they saying, oh man, we're just terrible? I don't know. I really don't right. know the answer to that. Now, they went to New England last week, and they went toe-to-toe with the Patriots, mm-hmm. Down to the point where if Denarius Moore makes maybe a better effort and at least that ball goes incomplete, maybe they stick it in the end zone and have a chance to tie it up with a two-point conversion. You got numbers on Blake?
Here's Blake Bortles, 43 of 61, 476 yards on the season to this point, 70.5 completion percentage. Of course, he set the rookie record in a game yesterday against the San Diego Chargers. 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 54 yards rushing. Obviously, 0-1 now as a starter.
54 yards rushing?
Yes.
Same as exact as Bridgewater.
Yes, it is. And 7.8 in attempt, which is solid.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Eerily similar numbers for those guys, right? Each played a game and a half. Bridgewater's thrown for 467 and 476 for Blake.
Yep.
He's, I guess, thrown it more because his completion percentage is that much higher and not averaging as much. But still, 7.8 is not bad at all for a rookie quarterback in yards per
attempt. Especially with what he's throwing to.
It drives me crazy sometimes. People, oh, play calling's terrible. Play calling's this. Play. A couple of plays yesterday, the first 4th and 1,
mm-hmm.
okay? To me, and at the time, I didn't like it, so this is not wait and see how the play turns out. You got Denard Robinson as your lone back in the backfield. Is the defense really think he's going to get the football on a 4th and 1? You know what I mean?
Right.
I felt like you were setting up Blake Bortles' sneak attempt to fail because they could almost disregard the guy in the backfield and play 11-on-10.
I had a guy, I had an email last night late, just blasting the Jaguars for not sneaking Blake Bortles on the final series or on the final 4th and 1 part, because you've got a 6'5 quarterback. You need 1 yard. All he's got to do is fall forward.
Right.
And my answer was, well, history suggested that's not a guarantee.
They tried that
but
earlier.
I mean,
right.
And,
I hear
and again,
I hear you.
That I don't disagree with the quarterback sneak as the call. I'm not saying that. You know,
but
that
put Toby back there. Make him
yeah.
at least think that to me. Make him think. All right, I got the hammer back there. I got.
Right.
Is Gerhardt going to get it? Is Bortles going to?
That's always one where you know, if he had made it, nobody's thinking about it. If he did, you know,
understood.
Watch the Monday after every loss of play calling. We were
precisely.
Talking about that yesterday. Look, after you saw the first quarterback sneak and it didn't work, we saw enough of 94 in the middle of that San Diego offensive line blowing up Bowenko. I mean, he's still a rookie, and to put him in a position on that kind of play where, yeah, you got to get a nose up on one of the best interior linemen in the National Football League and move the pile, that's a difficult position mm-hmm. to put him into. It obviously didn't work early. At that point, if you want to go for it on 4th and 1, I have no problem with it. But, Mike, we were talking about it watching it. Move Bortles.
Roll.
Give him a run-pass option.
Get him on the edge, run-pass
right.
option. Every 4th and 1, 4th and goal should be a quarterback rollout. If I'm calling the play, you would have my book, because I would roll him out every damn time and put him on the edge and make some linebacker make the decision, do I come up and get mm-hmm. this guy or do I hang back? Like you said, if it works, you're not complaining about it. But I did at the time, Tony will tell you, I was sitting here, I just didn't like it when they were lining it up. And then, you know, they go on the 3rd and 1. And again, you got Denard back there. Now you're going to hand it to Denard to try to get your 3rd and 1. And then Toby couldn't even get started because that play got...
Now, I haven't seen it, and Tony, I see you've been watching it.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're covering the game to always see the details of this because you're in the press. You
sure.
guys have been
there. Oh, absolutely.
On the 4th and 1, I got a ton of emails saying that Gerhardt stutter stepped. He didn't go after the hole. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
To me, look, he clearly didn't just get it and go full bore and what, but I thought to me, again, and watching it and probably seeing maybe one replay on TV, offensive linemen were pushed back at the snap on the right side where that play was designed to go.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't think he had anywhere to go. It was like, okay, I could plow into guys that are already a yard and a half behind.
He was getting hammered by the fan, and I was thinking, oh, my goodness, did he, you know, because sometimes you're writing it and you see it and you can't tell what was really there. You know, I certainly, from a live view, didn't see any hole that he could have really blasted through.
I didn't either. And now that's not to say, could he have hit it with a little more force? I think he would have run right in the back of one of his linemen. I think he was like, okay, I could, I mean, you know, sometimes you're like, well, if I just go right forward here, there's nowhere to go. I'm just going to be stuffed. I know. So you're trying to be patient, maybe.
And he had
see
done that a couple
happens.
Of times early in the game where he came up on it and he sort of had to, I'm not going to say he jump cut because he didn't do that, but he sort of got to the different hole and was able to sort of plow through. And I'm thinking when they were going right to left, from my point of view, in a couple of plays, he did that with some success early. So I imagine that's what he was trying to do.
It's fine. Maybe it was the boys this morning on the drill. I'm not sure who it was, but basically saying you need a combination of those two guys almost back there, right? You need a guy maybe with Toby's strength with a little more of Denard's quickness and speed, and vice versa, just somewhere in the middle of that mix right there. You got a big bulldozer who seems like he takes a few steps to get up to full speed, and then you got Denard who gets up to full speed quickly but can't really push the pile at all.
I thought Denard showed some stuff yesterday, though, where a couple of plays where I thought he had better vision.
He had one, yes.
Than I thought, really.
He had one run where he made two different change of direction.
And stayed calm. You know, it wasn't like he was frantic out there. He was sort of calm within the run, which I always like because it shows that the game is slowing down a little bit. I think his vision has improved from last year back there. So that showed some interesting signs. I still don't think – everybody's calling for Denard to start. I just don't think that he's yet a guy that you want carrying 20, 22 times, a workhorse guy. I thought the mix that they tried yesterday was okay. It's just not getting the results they want yet.
Now, I know Gus said after that there was no like demotion for Toby, what have you, but to me it seemed pretty evident that once he laid the ball on the ground, you didn't see him for a couple series.
Well, yeah, and they'll go back to what they've been saying. When they do that, they take him out, they get the head right, they put him back in. I mean, that's clearly they took him out because they wanted Denard in the game at that point. So I don't know if that's a demotion, but it was.
I don't know if it's a demotion,
but it was a short term, not in the game.
You pick up 9 yards and you let the ball get punched out, and then you're not in. I thought that was more like this is letting you know you need to hang on to the football.
And boy, didn't that just feel like a "you're kidding me" moment?
Of course it
did. You're waiting all season for it to get going, and they showed a couple of glimpses of that kind of play.
Nice burst, and then coughed it up.
It was again one of those things you just can't have.
All right, live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. We'll get back to your calls in a moment. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, Fat Tony and Lauren Brooks here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
Break the huddle, man!
Jaguar coaches, Jaguar players, Jaguar experts. Live from Everbank Field. So yeah, you're in the right spot. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
I live in the danger zone.
We've had
Mike.
A disaster. We've had a house of pain. We have a danger zone. Well, you do have the aviators. So, I mean, that is fitting.
That's right.
Go with you, doesn't it?
That's kind right. of. Danger zone is the ozone.
Ozone's known to throw that shirt to the side, go out there and play a little volleyball at lunchtime with the boys.
Hey, don't. I got a little too big a laugh.
Warren Brooks did a spit take.
No one else heard that, though. You said y'all. Else,
yeah, we heard that, but... just picture
I'm starting to get a little
duo of Osier and O'Halloran. truly the ozone.
Right.
The ozone. Out there. Oh, man, never mind.
I just can't picture lunchtime volleyball at the Jag Stadium. That's
lunchtime
all.
Volleyball. That's how
there's
how
all
it
sorts
is.
Of things going on.
Shadrick will get out there and.
Who would spike in whose space? That's what we need to know.
Mm.
I'd just be doing a lot of flexing.
that's normal. You do that
it's
all the time.
A flex right. off. That's what it is. It's eye candy for the ladies.
I know. When and here. Where? I'll start tweeting about it.
Every day from noon to one, right out in the parking lot. Come on.
Beautiful.
We just set up the net right out by the Jaguar statue and go at it. It's a little harder, though, when you're diving on the concrete, but
yeah,
we make do. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. We'll hear a little bit from Blake Bortles postgame coming up as well. But let's get back to the phones here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Charles, thanks for hanging on. You're up next. How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I can't call it. My beef is with the play calling in the second half of the Jaguars game. You're down 14-33 with 9 minutes left. We have a chance to win the game. I think they're too conservative with Blake. I mean, you gotta let him play. The kid can play ball. I mean, he's crazy accurate. He has an arm. If we could have let him play and just do his thing like he's been showing he could do, I feel like we could at least made the game closer than what it was. And I'll take your comments off the air.
All right, thank you, Charles. From my perspective, he said 9 minutes. I remember at one point there were about 6.5 minutes left in the game. And I remember, I believe it was Jeff Wagman remarking on the broadcast, hey, if they're going to give you 10 yards every time, just take it. And I thought even at that point, there wasn't enough time to go with that route. And maybe that was what San Diego was giving them, you know, just taking away the deep third of the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could say, well, just do it anyway, that you're probably not going to have a whole lot of success. I'm guessing that's probably what they were doing defensively.
I think they were more conservative in the second half yesterday than they will be going forward. If that makes sense.
And the reason being?
Well, I think some of it is no Mercedes Lewis, no Marquise Lee, no Cecil Shorts. No, I mean, as Tony talked about, what they had on the field around them was not ideal. And I think also you've got a pretty decent coverage team in San Diego, and you don't want to get the kid hit over and over and over again in his first start. So I would guess there was a little of that, but I think over time you will see them get a lot more aggressive.
That being said, right. What you said about not getting him hit over and over, I'm not saying, I don't know what the offensive line will grade out as,
right.
You know, because again, I leave that to people who know a lot more about it than I do.
Which is a big population.
Pretty
size.
Much everyone. pretty much everyone. Okay.
And but I'm not one of them.
But I've always said, I mean, I can't tell you, I can tell if a play gets blown up. Like that right. Gerhardt fourth down, we just rewatched it. You know, I don't know if it's the line so much as Will T, the fullback. Yep. He's supposed to fall right on his butt, right through that, I think it's the guard tackle hole right. That he's going towards. And he gets stuffed a yard and a half behind the line of scrimmage. Toby Gerhardt could have run into his back.
Yeah. I don't know how
done
much.
You no good.
"Quote unquote," hitting the hole hard would have done, when hitting the hole would have meant hitting the wall.
You would right. You just would have run into your teammate's back, and so he tried to cut inside. But
I get what people were saying. He didn't charge into the hole, so it looked like he was dancing. I just didn't see it that way. I don't know if
defended the play well. Yeah. I mean, look, there are two teams out there playing, and sometimes the other team executes a play better than you do.
But that happened too often on fourth and short yesterday.
My point being, those are the instances even a dummy like me could say, okay, they didn't get that enough push in that regard. But watching the game, I didn't feel like, wow, he's just under constant duress. You're going to be under duress sometimes in the NFL. But I didn't think, and I think that, as much as anything, is a product of, yes, some of these young guys are getting a few more reps and a little bit of experience, but we're not talking about dramatic amount of difference. We're talking about 2 weeks difference since they gave up 10 sacks. I think it's more to do with his presence, his escapability.
He is, every sign we've seen so far is that he is really special on that front. And that's what, as you continue to take away and watch him sort of get better as the weeks go on. You know, I think Andrew Luck has phenomenal pocket presence. I'm not so sure that Blake's isn't going to be pretty close to being on that level. the way he sees things, the way he moves. Out of all the things we all talk about with Blake, the poise and all that stuff, that's the thing on the field that you see, the intangible, or it's really a tangible, that makes you think the sky is going to be the limit. Because if you're doing that at this age, then a lot of other things follow. If you can't do that, then it's hard to get very much better.
All right, let's go to Mike up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I went out of my way, you know, to look at the line play, the offensive line play, and it just seems to me that center, did it look like it to you guys that every time he was in the shotgun, he was chasing that football either above his head or way off to the left? It looked like it was just messing with his rhythm a little bit every time he was in the shotgun.
I can remember one play, one of the runs to the Denard where the snap was low, and it may have thrown off the timing on the play a little bit, but it wasn't something I noticed a lot.
I didn't either.
I wasn't watching for it, though. So, I mean,
that's one of those things, though.
It didn't look disruptive to the game.
I think that's one of those things that you wouldn't have to watch for, right?
It didn't look like it looked in the preseason around here.
No.
Put it that way.
No.
It's better than that.
Right. So I'm not discounting it.
In that case, upgrade.
Hey,
look, and, you know, Dave Caldwell's been getting killed in some circles.
Sure.
You know, and look.
That's part of the job.
It is part of the job. And it's all fair. And you're a fan of a team that has won very few games over the last 3 years. And you're frustrated. And you, as a Jaguar fan, have every right to say, I don't care how long you've been on the job, because I've been on the job since 1995. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been to the playoffs since 2007. So I'm tired of all that. So you have the right to feel however you like. But
and when you're not winning, you're going to take the heat. They all get that.
Well, when you look at sometimes you say, well, boy, they're putting a guy in like JT Thomas, right, who it's almost out of default, like, we got to try somebody else. But we didn't think he was the best option going in, or else he would have been in there. I think in the case of Belanco, it's just that he's so young, so raw.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they did have an inclination that he might be the best.
Yeah,
you know, early on, even though it took them to go through a couple of guys in front of him for
him to
get that
opportunity.
There's
a reason, obviously, that A, you drafted him in the sixth round, and B, that you waited as long as you did to get him in the lineup. That you knew there was, if they had thought he was polished and ready to be great in week one, he might have been starting. I mean, I'm no rocket scientist. He might have been starting from the start of preseason. So this is clearly a guy that they see something in. They know there are rough edges. So it's not going to be perfect to start. But you also have seen some indications that as he grows. Remember, Brad Meester in his first game gave up, I think, two or three sacks. These young guys on the line are going to have issues. What you want is to start seeing potential in them. And I think you're starting to see Buenco, Linder, some of these guys on the offensive front get a little better pass blocking, not be a disaster up there. Now the next thing is to get some continuity in the run game, which a touch of it yesterday, but it's got to get a lot better.
Let's go to Robbie up next here this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Robbie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, first of all, just real quick, I'll say yes. I'm disappointed in the defense, but that's not what my call is about. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but I had a Sunday ticket, and I go back and forth, but. One thing I have noticed, I know there's new rules for D-backs, you know, can't touch them, can't do this. But I've noticed, man, a lot of quarterbacks are before halftime 12 of 16, 13 of 16, 14 of 7 for 150 yards. It's almost, but Blaine didn't have.
Who?
Not Blaine. I'm talking about Blake. But Blaine didn't. I know you remember running out of bounds, the woe there. Man, but Bortles with less or just as much as what Blaine had does a lot more. That I can be happy for. You know, I can see hope. Offensive line will help. Running game would help. That offensive line would really help. And I know we have young receivers, but for Bortles to get out of the pocket like he does and run around, well, I think y'all said it Friday, like, you know, too dumb to know any better, too young to know any better. That's a good sign, but he's doing a good job, man. And when you look around the NFL nowadays, and all the quarterbacks, or at least the halfway to elite quarterbacks, are just completing pets. This is not offensive football. This is a hurt on every defense, and we have a young defense. But yeah, man, you can't touch nobody, can't breathe on them, can't look at them. Just, you know, catch ball and tackle. That's the best they can do. But getting blown on, you know, deep coverages, that's
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the defense, but I do like what I see out of Bortles, man.
All right, Robbie, thank
you. Lauren, I am begging you to make a transcript of that call.
Please do.
Can you repeat the question?
Robbie's been calling for a long time, so I'm sure Robbie's heard me get on his case before.
Was there one complete sentence?
Please summarize that phone call. And I guess he wrapped it up in the end. I'm disappointed in the defense. I'm encouraged by Blake Bortles.
Blake's better than Blake.
Everything in between that and that again at the end, I'm not sure what
that was
going
epic.
On.
That was
interesting.
That was one to remember.
All right, let's get William in here. He wants to make a comment on Luke Bowanko. What's up, William? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
I was calling. I'm not aware of the heat that Dave was taking. I'm assuming that you guys were talking about him getting heat on Bowanko. Is that correct?
What? No. Say again?
I thought you guys said that Dave was getting heat in some circles about some of the players.
No, I said he's been getting heat in some circles just because, you know, talent. Where's the talent on this football team, you know, that whole thing.
Oh.
But I was making an example that it seems like you found a pretty good guy in the sixth round. That was my point.
Right.
Maybe I didn't make that clearly enough.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you. And I was actually calling to back him up if that was the case because – and then we all knew that he was going to most likely draft center with Meester retiring. And I remember watching that draft. I feel like Bowanko was not their first option at center because if you remember in the draft, there was a run on centers, I think, in like the fourth round maybe. And I know that Bowanko was one of the guys he worked out. So I think centers went a lot quicker than he might have realized they would. And Bowanko was they had to get him because they had to get somebody, you know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think he had a pretty good idea, is my understanding, that there'd be a little run on centers in that round. The problem becomes when you need a lot.
Right.
You know, he went and got Aaron Colvin in the fourth round because they know they need a corner and they think he may be a first-round talent. So that's sort of the problem you run into when you have a lot of needs. It's hard to target every need. Now, center was obviously a need that, you know, in retrospect, maybe you wish you'd targeted earlier. But, again, it's just hard when you have five needs sitting there. It's hard to target every one of them in the draft.
I would agree with you. And that again, goes back to, not to beat the dead horse, but at the risk of doing that, supplement it with some veteran guys, short-term guys who you know have had success to a certain degree in the National Football League. And
with center, that was a tall order in this free agency.
I'm not talking about that particular position.
Not.
I'm just talking about as a general rule.
If we were talking about center, though, with center, it was either Alex Mack or
Brian De La Puente, who ended up signing as a backup in Chicago. All those guys,
right.
Outside
which
of
we had talked about before.
Nobody
right.
had any interest in any of those right. guys. None of them.
So that sort of becomes some of the problems,
themselves.
Too. You're in free agency, and you're like, okay, I can spend, and then you sit there and say to yourself, do I really want to spend on this?
But that's, I'm not even talking about that specific. The idea, though, that there are so many holes, and you knew when you took over the team last year, there were all these holes to fill, that you only have X amount of draft picks. And mm-hmm. chances are you're not going to hit on every single
True.
One. It's just impossible. So if you're just trying to fill through the draft, it's going to be a long damn time before mm-hmm. you get to that point, because with attrition and the misses and some guys are going to leave in free agency and on and on and on, it's not an either-or proposition. When you're starting from scratch, if you want to be competitive any time in the first few years, that's kind of my point on that. All right, we got to take a break. We will come back, hear a little bit from Blake Bortles. Also, hear some from you as well, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, just asking you to give a grade to Blake Bortles' starting debut yesterday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I mean, we can't have lapses, and you know, I left some throws out there and didn't make some plays. But I mean, I thought we had a decent first half, and we got to continue to carry that over into the second and be able to finish the game.
Blake Bortles yesterday after the game saying the offense needs to be more consistent. Also had a few other comments we wanted to bring you, and said, look, in the end, you know, you talk about numbers, what have you. The fact that they lost, really, wins and losses are the only thing that matters.
I mean, we lost, so I don't know if there's a positive or not. You know, I didn't play very well, did some stupid things, but you know, we're continuing to raise the bar and trying to get better each and every week, and that's what we're going to do.
Do you think he now I understand the mindset of, you know, the greats is that they want perfection,
right?
Do you think he really feels like he didn't play very well, or do you think he is smart enough to know that in the end you can't sit there and talk about my completion percentage or this or anything like that? Isn't it somewhere in between? He can't think he was terrible yesterday.
Well, I think he's, like a lot of good quarterbacks, has sort of that ability to see both sides, meaning long-term and short-term. I think he believes, he's a confident guy, he believes he should be playing and winning and expects to win. He's won most of his life. So I think there's that confidence there. And then I think when he looks at that game yesterday, when he said what he said, he's just coming off two second-half interceptions that he knows when he watches the film, he's going to go, oh, boy, that was Weddle baited me. I get that. This is an eight-year veteran guy got me. I got gotten. So I think he's sort of saying, there's no way I played well if I had those two throws. But overall, I think it's fine what he said because it's not going to dilute his confidence. He knows where he's going. He knows he's good. So...
Oh, I wasn't questioning that.
No, I know. I mean, I don't think he thinks he played very well because I think this is a kid who, when he throws two interceptions and they don't win, he's not going to have a very good feeling coming out of the game. I don't think that was disingenuous.
I'm sorry. Going back to his original point about, you know, winning and losing, from a team perspective, Parcells said it, you know, you are what your record says you are, and that truly is what matters in the NFL. But we have to be outside. We have to observe that from outside and say a quarterback – can complete 30 out of 40 passes for whatever, and his team happens to lose, doesn't make his performance worse than a guy who was garbage, but his team bailed him out in a victory.
Right?
I mean, so because people yesterday were tweeting, well, Teddy Bridgewater superior. He won. Well, I mean, Teddy did win.
Sure.
And that is, you'd rather win the game. Is Drew Brees now one of the worst quarterbacks in the league because he's 1-3? I mean, it's not all about wins and losses when you are evaluating the play of these guys, is my point.
Right. Well, and again, I didn't watch Bridgewater. It sounds like he played very well.
He did play well, from what we could tell in the highlights.
I watched Blake Bortles, and the things that you want to see from a young quarterback that he shows, to me, are so much important. I mean, he had good stats. He probably could have thrown the ball downfield more. You'd like to see more yardage out of the stats. But all the things that you want to see that this franchise has waited a long time to see, he's got them.
Go compare his rookie debut. Now, it wasn't like, you know, Burnell doesn't fall in this category, but the rookie quarterbacks who started, we looked at the numbers yesterday, Tony. Really looked at them last week. David Garrard, I think 13-26, had the highest completion percentage of any rookie who ever started a game.
Well, I can
for
tell
team.
You this. If you're talking about Brunell, and I talked to Mark about this a little bit during training camp, or I forget if it was something that I read him say, Mark spent the first year here really not knowing what he was seeing on the field. And he was very much a rookie his first year here. I believe this kid sees the field better than Mark Brunell did when he was first playing in 95. This kid, when he runs because he has seen that the pass won't work. This guy moves around in the pocket with the idea of looking downfield first. That's everything in this league. That's the best sign you can imagine from this guy. He's not looking to run first. He's moving in the pocket and looking for a downfield throw. You know, that's a 10 in terms of where he's going.
Call him a 10. by the way, the song was Into the Great Wide Open by Tom Petty. Clever girl. There. Clever girl.
Thank you.
There's a tinge of bitterness out of Lauren today.
That was very clever, actually. I thought that was one of your better efforts.
I appreciate
right there. I guess you could be describing Eddie Royal or any number of guys, this year.
You get a little mean streak to it
up against the Jags.
Not mean, just, frustrated. That's all.
All right,
the question of the day, what's your grade for Blake Bortles? And it's brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Tony, what do we get?
Here's what we got from at Irish Jaguar, who was smack-talking throughout the weekend.
Oh, he was smack-talking all that Euro trash garbage, Ryder Cup
they
stuff.
They got us again. 8 out of 10 now for the European side in the Ryder
congratulations.
Cup.
Congratulations. I mean the most insincere congratulations I can send.
He said, B-minus, moved the ball well, escaped the pocket when needed, threw a couple of bad picks. From Paul, I'd give him a B+. two picks hurt, but his completion percentage was amazing. He's clearly the future. From Kevin, C+, he was a little above average. Wish they could stay with the no-huddle offense. Fits his style better. Chuck, solid high C. You can see he is an NFL quarterback, just have to play a little smarter. From Eric, solid C+. He made us better, but the interceptions and three sacks made it come down. Great reads downfield, though. From Mars Pet, we got in-game B, but extra credit for how he handled the post-game. Hashtag gonna get better, hashtag not satisfied. From Paul, hashtag B is for Bortles, and Bortles is for me. From Eric, we got highest completion percentage for a rookie start, confident and extending plays, 9 different receivers, all check. A solid B. From Steve, B+, the future looks bright, hashtag I love free t-shirts.
Who does?
There you go.
I love free
everything.
Everyone loves them. For the most part. A lot of B to A minus on Facebook here. Although Jed Fish did get a D from Alan Munger. He said, I'll give Bortles a B, but the conservative play calling, I give him a D. I'm not trying to, look, 78.4% completion percentage. We all saw the stat that ESPN tweeted out. Highest completion percentage by a rookie quarterback attempting 30 or more passes in his debut in history. All right.
History.
In the league history. That's impressive. But overall, let's leave some room for growth there. Yeah. It's a C, a high C. I think that's fair, something like that. It wasn't, certainly, you're happy. It's got to be a little bit better. C is average. I'll say C+. A little bit better. You don't expect that from that category. But the interceptions, you can blame one of them, maybe on the fact Cecil Shorts couldn't drive off the ball. Whatever the case. Sometimes you feel like you're critiquing, trying to be fair, and people are saying, well, he's a rookie. How can you be so hard on him? No, well, we're just judging him as an NFL quarterback. If you judge it as an NFL quarterback game, you'd be, it's okay.
How long have you been following this team, Tony?
Since I got here, 95.
Yeah.
Mike?
Same.
When's the last time you felt this good about a quarterback?
This good after one start? Never.
After one start?
Or just an overall feeling of where you, how good you think the guy can be.
Brunell. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, probably Brunell in 96 gave you that. David Garrard had a very good season in 2007.
Right.
But in terms of could I see this guy being a, you're a perennial Pro Bowler type guy, I think he can get there. And so, arguably never. Mark Brunell, you felt good about. So, but even, you go back then, Brunell
took time.
Like 20 touchdown passes was like the peak for him.
Right.
In a season. And you're like, and I know it's skewed now. The numbers have gone up so much. But even then, with Jimmy and Keenan, he had the 1,000 yard passing season. He threw for 4,396. He had the legs to go with it. He was multi time Pro Bowler. So, but as good as any of them, right? I mean, so the hope is there with this guy. Right. I'm not knocking
that's
out, I'm
really
not questioning
important.
That. It's the it's the single most important thing, and that's the trump card ultimately. And we said, look again,
and I guess my point is now that we sort of feel like we know that. Now let's see where the rest of it goes around.
Understood. But
even in the short term, even this season.
Well, that's the thing. Let's see some in the short term. I think I feel like I sit here. You've got to be able to critique the GM.
Absolutely.
And the player acquisition, is he doing a good job? And he hasn't in all areas. I mean, to me, because you look at the lapses in the secondary, well, that's his secondary that he built. And you could say, well, they're all young. Well, that's the direction he chose to go.
Sure.
And right now they're not competitive enough by NFL standards. So that doesn't mean you're calling for a guy's head. By the way, the people who are, and I think it's a small percentage out there, but they're, just think of this, okay? If it builds up over the course of the season,
Okay?
And let's say the Jags are 2-10 or whatever. I don't know what they're going to be at a certain point. And you're feeling like, well, somebody's got to be held accountable. Do you want to be the organization that has an owner that comes in, gives the first guy a year,
right?
Gives the second guy two or less, and then who are you going to get to come in? Hey, John Gruden. Hey, Bill because those are always the hot names. You want to come coach this team? Here's what your life expectancy is as a head coach.
Then all of a sudden you've got all of a sudden you're starting over again. Is that what you want?
Right. And look, I understand what's going on with Fulham. Shy Connell will flip you if you're not getting the job done. But forget that. In terms of this practical reality. And I'm not at all suggesting it's anywhere close or he would even, Shad Khan's anywhere even remotely thinking that kind of thing. But for the people that are, because you hear it, and it
right,
may
for
grow.
For the buzz out there.
Right, for the buzz. It right. Just consider that. Do you want to be the franchise that has that reputation of constant turnover, constant turnover, constant turnover? Now, at a certain point, you don't stick with what's happening just because it's in place and it's not working, but you don't want to change. But I don't think they're near that point.
They are not.
Yet. That's the only thing. You know,
nor should they be.
Right, but at the same time, look, I think the criticism is valid. Hey, Gus Bradley's supposed to be a defensive guy. Why is his defense not getting done? Ultimately, the buck stops sure. in his office, on his desk, as to what happens on Sunday mm-hmm. afternoons, and that's fair. And look, they're big boys. They understand that.
Absolutely.
Will we see a run at some point? Do you get the sense that at some point the pieces will click into place, and whatever the record ends up being, we'll see an extended period of good football out of this team this year as we wrap up? You know how we saw that from the second half. We saw that run of a month and a half.
I do
last year.
Because, and I think there was more of a solid feeling, as strange as this sounds to say, out of Gus and out of some of the defensive guys after that game yesterday. They weren't pleased with it, but I think they now know the direction they need to go.
All right.
And I don't even know how to enunciate that properly, but that was the feeling you got from talking to the guys. It was a different feeling than after Indy.
What's coming up on Jaguars.com?